Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Nice to see you. Welcome back. Hey, this week's episode is, oh my goodness, I don't even know how to explain the show except to compare it to food. The episode is so dense, it's like, just think of the most delicious steak if you eat meat. If you don't, just think of the most delicious steak. You know, just, it's so, I mean, every 10 seconds, I feel like I hear something like, oh, that's really important. Oh, that's going to change the game on everything. Oh, how can we apply this to all the sex? And so this episode is just, yeah, very exciting. And when we get into about 20, 25 minutes in, it gets, whew, I was rewinding a bunch. Well, I don't think I've ever rewound this much when listening to the episode before I release it. And I took tons of notes. I'm so glad Adam Whitman, you'll hear the story in a second, but I'm so glad he just came out of the woodwork, because this is, I'm loving it. I'm loving this show. I am loving this episode. So proud of it. And so glad he could share his brain with me. I will say that our conversation is a little bit biased toward people who have someone to play with. I do apologize for that. Some of it you can totally do with someone that you're not sexually active with, and you can do a lot of these things by yourself. And heads up, at the end of the episode, there is a... We kind of are starting to wrap it up. I'm like, wait a minute, we have to talk about scar tissue. And it was fascinating. I had no idea the sensual potential for scar tissue. Right? Who? What? What? Yeah, stay tuned. Stay tuned. Huh. Okay, enjoy the show. I appreciate you. Should probably plug something. Sexnerdsandra.merchtable.com for all your merchandise needs. Yeah. Really like the stickers. I just got those in. People are loving the shirts. I just got mine. Yep, just got mine. It was fun to walk around Comic-Con with that. Emerald City Comic-Con. Specifically. Is that weird? Am I allowed to wear my t-shirt with my logo on it? I don't know if I'm... Is that like a faux pas? I don't know. All right, strap in. Get ready. It's going to be fun. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
So, why are you nervous?
It's, I don't know, an unexpected thing to have kind of dropped on my lap, more or less. The request to have this kind of a talk done and then to be asked to do it is nerve-wracking.
I bet. I can imagine that. Well, here you are in my hotel room. It's kind of weird, right?
A little bit, but...
Oh, but the sound is better. I can't record on the convention floor. That's just inappropriately unprofessional to people's ears.
Of course.
Yeah. But, so you guys, I'm here with one Adam Whitman. We are in Seattle. First time here. Very excited. At the Emerald City Comic Con. And you, sir... asked a question at the Nerdist.com panel 2 days ago. And then, can I tell them what you did after? So you asked about physical fitness and nerd culture and whatnot and like the nerd brand, et cetera. And I was thinking to myself, like, you're asking about fitness and stuff and you're a physical therapist identified and this question is not directed toward me. Well, okay. Sure, bro. And then after, you totally came up to me and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly both levels were directed at the panel because it's something that I have an interest in. I would like to see, I had a friend who had a brilliant idea that every time he portaled back to town in his video game that he would do 10 squats. So, and I would love to see things like that incorporated into nerd culture. But I did, of course, have the independent question for you as well in regards to finding somebody who could give a speech on nerves in association with pain and pleasure and things along those lines.
All right. Yes. So he taps me on the shoulder after. Like, Sandra, can I request a topic? And I get requests for topics a lot. I mean, there's just so many topics. And this request about talking about pain, pleasure, nerve endings, all these things. It's funny to me because when I talk to most medical professionals, they don't want to talk about pleasure or they've never given it thought. They just don't have their brains. It's this divide where they can't talk about their knowledge and apply it to a more holistic life experience, which I find interesting. So we chatted for a short time and it turned out that you had the information. You just wanted the information out for other people. So it's like, well, gosh darn it, Adam, why don't you just be that person?
Well, I appreciate that. But there's a reason there's a divide with medical professionals and pleasure versus talking about medical stuff only. And it's a professionalism divide. You run some serious risks with patients taking that information in wrong and looking at, well, I'm coming to you to take care of my pain and I don't want you touching me inappropriately versus when I have to go hands-on for some of what I do, being that I'm a physical therapist. So there is that part of it, and there is certainly that risk that people hear that, and I think it's more of a sociocultural type of a problem. I still often, once patients have developed a rapport with me, will ask questions like, well, I have terrible low back pain. How do I have sex with my husband again? It's part of my job to get people back to function. It's not just a simple, well, you have pain, let's take away your pain. I'm doing all kinds of things that I can to get you back to functional more than anything else. And sex is part of that function.
Mm-hmm. It's not about taking away pain so you're numb. It's taking away pain so you can have all the feelings.
Yes. The health is not the absence of disease. It's its own individual thing. And so when you're dealing with a pain condition, then we still have to get you back to a healthy state that is something totally different. It's something that you can expand upon and always grow with your health. And that's sort of my big drive, is just trying to find ways that I can help people get back to that function. And in turn, in my own personal life, I found a lot of the techniques that I'm using translate very well into pleasure.
Oh, snap.
Which is not something that I do for my patients, obviously.
Clearly.
It started, I was a physical therapist assistant before I was a physical therapist. And I went to school for that, thinking that I would go in and be the big manual therapy guru, and realized that there's very little that is associated with touch that fixes things. Massage feels wonderful. Everybody enjoys it. We have the bonding, oxytocin, all that kind of stuff. That's all very important, but it was my experience that is not the primary cause of pain. Muscles can be the source of pain, but it's not often the reason why you have muscle pain. And so I started expounding into nerves a little bit more, and decided that the physical therapist assistant education was not enough to do it. So I went back to get my doctorate. And I opted to go to Indiana University because they have such a strong neuro program. It's also one of the few PT schools that has their PT students take anatomy and neuroscience with the medical students. So we had this nice bridge of information. And I think the most shocking thing to me at the very beginning was one of the physicians who was giving a speech on nerve pain specifically came out on the stage, and the first thing he said is, your patients will lie to you.
Do they?
Yes, all the time. And that, I mean, of course, that's going to grab you. That's a great way to start a speech. But it came down to this process of, just as an example, they'll come in and they'll talk about how my back is tight. I have this horrible pain in my back, but it's tight. And you'll poke it and it's not tight. Mm-hmm. But it feels tight. Mm-hmm. And how we follow that up was, there's over 100 words for nerve pain, nerve sensation, nerve everything. There's over 100 different words. And so it's the master of all disguises. And of course, this just, my mind exploded. And now I need to dive into this.
Can you give me more words? Because when I talk to people about sensation, or like even lube, what's sticky feels like to people, totally different. Some people think silicone lube is sticky. Silicone lube is like the absolute opposite of sticky. So, but I know, I kind of have a sense of what they mean and what they don't like, but that's the only word they have to talk about the slick and stick around of silicone lube. So what else, what other words for tight?
So when somebody comes in with any kind of pain, and it's a nerve-oriented pain, we're looking at, it can be a sharp stabbing, an electric feeling, a numb, a tingling, a burning, a throbbing. That's more often associated with the vascular system, with blood vessels and such, but it can still be a throbbing. Muscle tightness, that is one of my favorite ones. When people talk about their tight hamstrings, and I do something to correct a nerve compression, and then all of a sudden they touch the floor without ever stretching the hamstrings. Those are the kind of things that...
What do you mean they touch the floor without stretching their hamstrings?
Sorry, my fault. So one of the tests that I'm going to do with somebody is I want to look at how they're moving. And so I'll have them bend over trying to touch their toes, and they'll get maybe halfway down their shin and say, oh, my hamstrings have always been tight. And then I'll do something that has nothing to do with their hamstrings. For example, somebody with low back pain, more often than not, we're looking at a nerve compression situation. So I have them do a certain type of motion that decompresses the nerve and takes away their pain right away. And then all of a sudden, when they bend over again afterwards, they're touching the floor and they've never done that before. It's one of those really cool things to do for people because it's like magic. And then, what'd you do? I didn't do anything. You did it to yourself. And then the empowerment starts and all the good stuff comes after that.
Whoa. Does that mean that I need to go to physical therapy school? Like, I want to know those things. I want to know all the things.
I don't recommend it.
No.
Physical therapy school was great. It was one of the best experiences of my life. It was also one of the worst. It was incredibly difficult and grueling, and nervous breakdowns at least once a semester. And it was awful and great, and a very specific kind of knowledge that serves my purpose for what I want to do with my life. For you to go that route as a sex educator, it's way overkill for not that much knowledge that's going to get you into the sex.
Well, I mean, for one, I'm not interested in just sex. I'm interested in relationships and like the psychological stuff, but also in terms of body knowledge, I'm often frustrated at the holes in like just the knowledge and the way it's applied to sex. I wish I had more professionals that, you know, doctors and surgeons and physical therapists, and I wish everybody would just sort of at least talk about it a little bit, because it's important. And sex educators are kind of sometimes grasping because we can't get to that really juicy knowledge that can, like, because taking your, if I downloaded stuff that you knew, I would be able, it would be like the, like, I know Kung Fu. And then to be able to expand that. And a lot of the questions I get, I'd be like, oh, this adds a whole new layer. You know, it would just, my brain. Okay. Focus. How long did PhD school take?
DPT school. Just a subtle correction, because we don't, it is a clinical doctorate. So
double penetration theology?
Doctor of physical therapy.
All right, okay.
But you won't ever catch many of us actually using that title, because it was a push to get more respectability with our field within the medical profession. But the bachelor's level physical therapist is largely better than the doctorate because they've got 10, 15 years of experience. Experiences, it's clinical relevance that is most important to a physical therapist. It's not a very academic profession. Mm-hmm. Hence it being a DPT, its own individual letters, because we don't have to publish. Some schools do, ours didn't. It's about learning techniques that we can use, which is sort of where I came in to talk to you about this when it comes to nerves. My fascination with nerves took me to a whole new level, but it really translated into my own personal life as well. While as much as my drive is to help people with their pain, I have a personal life too. I don't bring my homework with my work home with me, with one very small exception.
And what is that?
Some work can be really, really fun. For example, when you're taking your anatomy class, it's really fun to come home and do your homework on your partner.
Literally. Usually other people just joke about that.
Oh, no. I all the time. When I was going through school, my girlfriend at the time, it was a routine thing where I would come back home. Okay, it's time to get naked so that we can start going over every inch of your body. Which, of course, works wonders for foreplay.
Okay, but does that mean, because, I mean, I've never seen a physical therapist. I mean, I talked to a pelvic physical therapist the Pelvic Gurus episode, and we did focus more on muscles and stuff and the genital region, from what I recall. So I haven't really talked about nerve stuff. So when you say you're going over every inch of her body, does that mean you're like poking her bicep and being like, it's this part of the bicep and that, or are you like just massaging it all sensually? Are you stabbing her with a pen? Like, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, I could be the cruel clinical and poking things with a pen, but no, that's way less fun. Mm-hmm. For example, this is where I started finding that sensation play was one of my favorite things to do. and it really, that started with, in the brain, we have a sensory cortex. There's a part of the brain that's exclusively involved in processing and interpreting what we feel. Mm-hmm. All various kinds of feels, minus the emotional feels. Mm-hmm. To take a muscle has a shape. It has a spot that it attaches at the origin, and then a spot that attaches on the other side called the insertion. Lots of fun terms, but effectively, what I love about the human body is that it flows together nicely. Mm-hmm. I can draw a line from your fingertip and never actually break the plane and trace through several muscles all the way up to the top of your head. And to me, I found that beautiful. And so when I'm going to take that, and I have a beautiful girlfriend at the time to practice on, mm-hmm. I'm going to do that same thing where I'm going to talk about the bicep and it's right there and I could poke it and that's easy and simple. But instead, when I can trace it with my finger, you provide that tactile stimulation that she can enjoy at the same time as I'm learning, and you know, watching her enjoy is always fun for me. In PT school, it was probably a month and a half into it, where we're in a classroom with 38 strangers and we're stripping down to shorts and sports bras, climbing on a table and immediately palpating the adductor muscle, which is the one right at the top of the hip that attaches right next to your genitals. We didn't really know these people before that 6 weeks ago. So it's one of those things that when I say every inch of the body, I mean every inch of the body.
Palpitating, does that mean you press it and jiggle it?
Yes.
Just checking.
We had to find everything. And so the technical term is palpating, is I am now poking whatever it is that I am trying to find. Mm-hmm. It made for an experience where I could watch headaches start to disappear just from a whole body anatomical lesson, which started to fascinate me in conjunction with this nerve system.
Wait, that, like, your girlfriend had a headache, and as you were doing what you're doing, it went away?
Yes. It's something that really, it took me several more years to figure out what the link was between the muscles I'm working on, the muscles that I'm touching, and how that relates to a headache. Mm-hmm. The big key on that one is it all comes down to the nervous system is pretty much tied into everything. We have multiple kinds of sensations. We have fine touch. We have fine touch can be broken down into like 2-point discrimination. So I can have you close your eyes and I can touch two different spots near each other. And I can with two different fingers. And as I expand those fingers, there comes a certain point when you can say, oh, it's 2 points. You're touching me with two individual things. And there's parts of the body that pick that up differently. And I would love to tell you which areas pick it up faster than others, but that ruins the fun of experimentation. So I'm going to let you guys figure that out on your own.
Wait, can you show me like on my arm what your technique is with two fingers? Because I want to just know, like, because I would think to myself, like, oh, I could know immediately. Obviously, I'm a human and have feelings. But then you're saying, like, I wouldn't be able to differentiate between two touches near each other. And I am skeptical.
It depends on the area. I need pens.
Oh, so not fingers.
And I'm not going to draw, but it's more, okay. It's the scientific method. If I'm going to be scientific about this, I want to use science. And so the appropriate way to do that is to fine point things.
I am so getting two pens right now. Hold on. Here, you hold this and say things.
In conjunction with the 2-point discrimination, we have things like stereognosis, which is a term that means that if you close your eyes and I put something in your hand, you can feel it and you know what it is. So if I give you a penny versus a quarter, you can distinguish the difference between the two because the penny has smooth sides and the quarter has rough sides. Those kind of things. I don't need the pen tips because I'm not going to draw on you.
I mean, I'm open to, you know, if we needed pen tips, I would be open to pen tips. I'm just saying. Okay. All right. So what are we doing?
Rest your hand here on the armrest.
All right.
So
I give consent to poke the skin surface areas that are here. I'm giving consent.
Thank you.
Okay.
Now, we're going to do this in two different areas of your body to get you an idea of what this, how it can be different from point to point. So I need you to close your eyes.
Okay. I'm going to have the microphone in the middle because I won't know where your mouth is.
That's fine.
Okay.
Now, what I'm doing for those who can't see this is I've got both pen tips right against each other and I'm pressing on her forearm.
Okay. Oh.
So you feel a point, and mm-hmm. I want you to tell me when you feel two individual pens as I spread right there. It's immediate, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, we're going to come to your upper back here and okay. do the same thing.
Move my hair. All right. Now there. I did it. Oh, okay. So what was the difference in distance from my back to my arm?
The difference in distance is it was almost immediate. As soon as I started to pull apart, it was probably maybe 4 or 5 millimeters on the arm versus in the upper back. Mm-hmm. We got to about an inch.
Interesting.
Now, again, I'm not going to give you all the information about those various spots because, again, this is something that anybody can use to play with because it's a fun little game.
Is it pretty consistent between human bodies or is everybody different in terms of their perception?
It's pretty highly consistent. Now, if we're looking at a situation like a spinal cord injury, that can affect certain things, of course. And spinal cord injuries can come in a number of different manners. You've got the one that's just a complete transection, complete severing of the spinal cord, and there's no feeling down after that point. But if you have somebody who's been stabbed, for example, and only half of the spinal cord is cut, the key piece on this one is that with the spinal cord injury that's been cut halfway through, the various types of sensation are carried up the spinal cord in different areas. Fine touch, what I'm talking about with the two-point discrimination, the stereognosis, those type of things are paired with proprioception. And proprioception is a term that we have for, it's how our joints tell our brain where the joint is in space. So if I were to close your eyes and I would move your hand into a position that's out to your side with your fingers splayed, without opening your eyes, you could match that on the other side. The reason you can
is that a test?
Yes, it is. It is actually to test, do you have intact proprioception in the case of, say, a spinal cord injury? That is also paired with vibration. So vibration is has its own receptors, and those three are grouped together and go up one half of the spinal cord. The other half is pulling up information from fine touch. Mm-hmm. Just rubbing your fingers on somebody's skin is going to be your basic fine touch. It's like, oh, I feel that. That's about all there is to it.
So I think, okay, this is the way I think of the human body. And maybe we could add to what I already know, but I think of it as, light almost touching, or just light caressing of the skin touch. And you have pressure where if I were to move side to side, the skin would be moving slightly. Like I'd be accessing just slightly past the skin, and then we get into the muscles, that kind of thing where there's a lot of smooshing going on, the rock gap bone, that kind of thing. I got that from Jaya Ma, who's another sex educator. Yes. She's really into bodies. So with that in mind, when you're saying like a fine touch, I think of like real light on the skin touch, but I don't know if that's what you mean.
In this case, no, it's different. The fine touch is going to be a lot more, it's going to be a lot more specific in regards to like the 2-point discrimination is a specific type of fine touch. Stereognosis is a specific, graphesthesia is another one where I can write a sentence on your arm and you can figure out what letters I am drawing because you have intact fine touch. Light touch encompasses pretty much any other kind of touch you're thinking of. Now, there are different nerve receptors. There are receptors that pick up deep touch, that deep squeeze that you were talking about a second ago, but also that gentle rub on the skin. It's being picked up by a general touch. The fine touch is more, I don't know how to put that.
Yeah, deep touch, light touch, fine touch.
Fine touch is going to be the equivalent of like a fine motor control where you can manipulate a pencil with your fingers versus gross motor control is you can throw your arm all over the place. That's the difference between the two. One is very, very precise. Fine touch is very precise versus light touch is very non-specific. It's just, I am receiving information.
So applying this to pleasure, this is 2-point touch. Is that what you called it?
A 2-point discrimination.
2-point discrimination. It's fun to do that on a partner's body just as a little game, but then how can I take that information that I've learned from my partner's body and apply that to how I play with them in different areas? Is it just sort of, oh, this area is less sensitive than that area? Like, is it that specific?
Yes, that's part, it's a game. It is a fun little game, but it's not exactly what I go into saying, okay, we're going to have a fun time now and this is what we're going to do. That doesn't really equate to very much. What we can translate, though, is that because we have these different pathways for sensation, light touch, pain, temperature are all carried fairly close to each other versus vibration is paired with the proprioception and the fine touch. So when you're combining something like a vibration with a light touch, you're now accessing two different pathways up the spinal cord to the brain.
I didn't know vibration traveled the brain via a different highway than all that other stuff.
Yeah, it's... they all go to the same central area. They all pass through, for the most part, the thalamus. The thalamus is a part of the brain that's effectively your telephone operator. I want to talk to this person. It tells it where to go. And so you get these two different types of sensation kicking in, and now you've got this whole sensory experience. It's not just a simple, well, I can rub on your skin and that feels good, and I can push a little harder and that feels like a massage and that's nice. But you can throw in temperature and vibration. So for instance, using something like, if you've got a vibrator that can withstand cold fairly well, now we have two different sensory systems working together to interpret this kind of touch. It helps to get the body a little bit more involved.
Okay, so I love sensation play. Deep love. I don't know how much you've listened to the show, but...
A lot.
Oh, okay. All right, so you're on board. Okay, so... And I, like, in my classes and whatnot, I'll be like, ooh, like sharp to, like, you know, scratch their arm, then use a feather, and then breathe hot on them, then breathe cold, and then whisper in their ear, feed them some chocolate, now spit on them. Don't do that. Unless that's a thing for you guys. But so beyond just playing the whole body and being surprising about where to touch and the sensation, you're saying that if you can combine several things in one touch, that's going to hit even more nerve pathways just on the in the part that you're touching. So... Like, I tell people to put a vibe, if someone uses a vibrator, it's the only way they can come, put the vibrator on your hand and use your hand so that you're kind of translating that vibration to something else. So.
Which, and that's the case in point. When I'm looking at pain, when I'm looking at pleasure, and even ticklishness, these are all hyperexcitability states of the nerve. It requires a certain point. When a nerve fires, it's called an action potential. And you need a certain threshold of stimulus for an action potential to occur in any nerve of the body. If you're having a situation where people are talking about, like you have said, that vibration is the only way that they can get off. Okay, well, let's start making this easier to incite action potentials by adding in more forms of stimulus. Vibration is one. You can throw temperature, you can throw light touch, you can throw fine touch, you can throw multiple areas. And you've talked about hitting multiple areas of the body at the same time. There's a big piece of that one in for me. And going back to when I was talking about the headaches and how I can relieve a headache from working on various other parts of the body. It's because the muscles in the sensory system are so closely tied together. We have a term dermatome and we have a term myotome. A dermatome is a specific patch of skin that is innervated by a specific spinal nerve, right?
Innervated. The nerves are, it's full of nerves that go to the spine in a certain way.
Yes.
Okay.
So we have nerves that come off of our spine in all kinds of little holes along the sides, and they're named C1, C2, C3, not very creative, but C5, for example, that nerve specifically innervates the outside of the shoulder when we're talking about touch. So I can rub there to check and make sure your C5 nerve is okay. If you feel it and it feels the same as the other side, we have an intact C5 nerve versus when I rub it on one side and then the other side, people report, I don't feel that as much. All right, so now we have something wrong with the C5 nerve. That's dermatome testing. Mm-hmm. Myotome testing is a specific grouping of muscles that is controlled by that same nerve. Mm-hmm. Take one step further, we now have sclerotomes, which is certain types of special things, we'll say, within, like, the tendons, the muscles, the reflexes. A lot of that are associated with the scleroderm, but again, it's associated with a single nerve level. Based on this, when you can incorporate touch into specific types of muscles, you can change a lot of different things. So for example, C3, C4, and C5 all control the diaphragm. So if I'm working on the shoulder that is C5, at the same time, you're getting some cross feedback that is associated with the diaphragm.
Okay, so this thought of touching one part of the body and affecting a different part of the body, I think of that as like acupuncture and acupressure and like, oh, the meridians, right? Like more Eastern thought stuff that I have not particularly studied. But it sounds like there is absolute, like this aligns a lot with what you've studied. Mm-hmm. It's the same idea, but maybe just different vocabulary. Is that, am I getting that correct?
Yeah, no, that's completely accurate. It's Western medicine versus Eastern medicine type thoughts. What it comes down to is, one of the examples, like you talk about using acupuncture as an example, a more Western philosophy would be something called myokinesthetics, where you're taking the sensory system and you're almost hijacking it to change the way muscles are behaving. So you're doing a repeated motion that is stretching a muscle on one side and activating a muscle on the other. We have this thing called reciprocal inhibition, where whenever you activate, say, your biceps on the front of your arm.
When you say activate, does that mean tense? Like flex?
Yeah. So when you're flexing your bicep, your reciprocal inhibition is a reflex that comes up, hits the spinal cord, comes right back down, and shuts off the tricep. Because if you tried to flex your bicep at the same time your tricep is flexing, your arm wouldn't go anywhere. And so we can use that where if you've got an issue that with the nerve that's controlling the bicep, I can have you start working the bicep while stimulating on the tricep. We can foster this into an entirely different pattern. That's where we can turn that into pleasure work, is where you can start there. You can grab a textbook if you would like to look up all the various myotomes and dermatomes and what nerves control. And that can be fun for some people.
But that would be fun for me.
Right.
What book should I buy?
Netter's Atlas of Anatomy. Something as simple as that.
Oh, I feel like I own that. Anyway.
So, and it goes, it's, you know, there's a lot of different resources that you can use, but for other people, that's going to be incredibly boring. They want to just get in and play.
Yeah, well, let's focus on the genitals or the boobs or like somewhere. Like, let's focus on how can we play with that with pleasure. That was a really dumb sentence, but you know what I'm saying. Okay.
I do. What you can do with that is, specifically speaking from the genitals, there's a very small amount of the brain that is centered around what you feel there. There is a huge amount in what you feel in your hands and in your feet. That's the sensory homunculus is what it's called. You can look that up you can Google it, and there will be a picture of a section of the brain and little pieces of body parts that are sized differently. And that corresponds to that area of the brain feels from the face, but it's a giant face because there's a huge amount of nerve endings that are associated with the face.
I think of it, the genitals having so many nerve endings. It's interesting to hear that.
They have lots of nerve endings, but the area that you feel everything in your brain, the area in the brain that is dedicated to the genitals is really relatively very small.
So what do we do?
What we do is we take the entire body into this. Focus genitals. It serves a purpose, right? It's one of the easier ways to achieve an orgasm. But if you've got too much tension in the rest of your body, right? If you're ticklish is a close cousin to pain. And there's been situations, I'm sure, that you've noticed with people who are ticklish at the very beginning of a session. And then by the end, you can rub that spot all you want, and there is no ticklishness. Mm-hmm. Removing that tension piece by working the rest of the body lets everything else relax. And I know that you've said in your show before that one of the bigger problems to achieving orgasm is too much focus, too much tension, too much thought, too much not just letting go. Well, we can force the body to let go to some degree by working each individual area of the body separately.
Okay, so I have questions because this is important and you have a lot of knowledge, and I feel like we're not going to get to the heart of it unless I like get in there. Okay, so what do I say? Very excited. So if someone's having, because what I think of when you're saying this is, oh, that means that I should give someone a full body massage before having sex. Like, simple as that. But it sounds like it's much more complex than that. It's more specific than that. Because one, there's the idea, like, light up more areas of the homunculus so that not just the genital area is lighting up. Did I gather that? Like, that seemed like the heart of what you're saying there.
Yeah. It's working the entire body together to cover as much areas of the body as you can, because so much of it is important. It is incredibly complex. My profession, I've spent a great deal of time. I have to do 40 hours of continuing education a year to keep up with things that are going on and how everything we learn new about the body, to try and convey that amount of information in this one little session that we have going right here is impossible.
Oh, isn't it frustrating? I'm frustrated every time.
It's incredibly frustrating. But what I can at least say is that adds a level of mystery and experimentation that is allowed.
Well, there's plenty of that, man. We need knowledge.
So, for example, we can change blood flow patterns with touch, okay? And there's the obvious, well, yeah, when you get a massage, blood is flowing, and that's not what I'm talking about. Our body can develop a natural tourniquet, right? Just below joints, for example, just below the elbow joint, there's a spot that I can work on that is blocking arterial blood flow, this, the blood that's going down as opposed to coming back to the heart. If that's blocking up, we're getting a congestion up higher in the system, and that congestion can translate into pain, into many different problems, tensions, things like that, where I can work exclusively on your lower body and remove a shoulder tension. Because if you have too much blood that's pulled up high, it's not getting down. The issue comes in
when, I don't like knowing that I might be pulling blood in parts of my body. It's freaking me out, man.
It's not, it sounds a lot scarier than it is. When you exercise, your blood pressure increases enough that it forces through those natural tourniquets. But the simple point of the matter is if you've got too much tension in these areas that are blocking blood flow, you can't let go. So instead, when you're working with a partner, you can work on these specific massage techniques where you can start to get the blood flowing again, things start to let go. And now you're in this state where you can receive pleasure much easier than you could if you just jumped right into it cold.
And what are these massage techniques? Is there a DVD? Is there a YouTube video? I mean, clearly that sounds like more than we can cover. Oh my God. There's so much. What are these massage techniques? You're such a tease.
And that's on purpose. Part of it is in this case, I'm speaking specifically of a technique that only, I think, 28 people practice.
In the world?
Yeah, because it's based on a single guy's family who's been doing this for 500 years. So I it's not my place to give that information. I'm saying that it exists.
Wait, okay.
Bear with me. The point being is that all I'm doing in this specific technique is I'm hitting certain spots on the body mm-hmm. that increase blood flow. Well, if you're working every muscle in the body, you're going to get them anyway. So you don't necessarily have to just go straight to these specific points, especially because the technique that I use is actually somewhat painful. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you get people squirming around on the table because of how much it hurts until things have let go. You know, for people who enjoy pain during their sex play, that's great and that's wonderful for them and that would work out well. But for people who don't, mm-hmm. it's not exactly something you want to bring in because it kind of might shut off that part of the brain that is associated with sexual arousal. So instead, it's more about what you and your partner can do, experimenting with each other's bodies, exclusive of genital play, going into it without the intention of, well, I want to get off. Go into it with the intention of, I want to learn my partner's body. There's something that goes on between both people on that. The person receiving is getting a lot more, for example. They're getting changes in the way they breathe. They're getting changes in their blood flow patterns. They're getting changes in what they feel, especially if you're denying them vision. Mm-hmm. Vision is incredibly distracting. And mm-hmm. so it removes from your body's ability to attend to what you're feeling.
So blindfold.
But yes. And I recommend that always when working with sensation play, because there is a giant chunk of the brain that is exclusively associated with vision. Our brain consumes 25% of all carbohydrates that we take in because of how much of an energy hog it is. Well, if you shut down a significant chunk of the brain because you've just denied vision, your body now moves all of that energy expenditure and resources into areas like sensation that you can then heighten that experience with the partner. So, of course, they're going to get more from the person who is doing the techniques, for example. When I first started in physical therapy, we talked about these things called trigger points, mm-hmm. very small knots within a muscle. And everybody's going through and trying to find these little trigger points, and we're all blind by our fingers trying to find these things. Versus now, fast forward to 7 years later in my career, this is something that I can come and I can find every trigger point in your body within seconds because I've been trained through my fingers of what to feel. Mm-hmm. That sensory homunculus we talked about, it's very plastic, and plastic is a term that we use in neuroscience of it's moldable and changeable. When somebody has a stroke and they lose sensation in a part of their body, the brain can actually remap around the damaged area, and a new part of the brain will start to feel sensation in that part of the body that was previously lost. So that plasticity of the brain, that changeability of the brain, is something where I become more skilled in what I feel, which is the other part of why this experimentation is so necessary. I can't just give everybody all the techniques, because it removes the ability of the practitioner to develop what they feel. Your job as that person is to be learning your other person's body. What do you feel? How tense is this versus another part of the body? And is this an abnormal amount of tension? Can you find these little trigger points? Those are the important pieces that it comes down to the experimentation is absolutely necessary for hitting real sensation play, in my mind.
Okay. You have 20,000 more tools than the average person, though, in terms of, I mean, because I have dated my share of people who don't have any knowledge about anatomy of the body. And there is a huge learning curve around just simple touch techniques. I mean, because a lot, I mean, I kind of joke about this in some classes, like some people are just like, rah, you know, like caveman hand, like, rah, I'm going to touch your clit, rah, you know, and it's just, but it's true sometimes. You're like, okay, let's be aware that we have a palm and fingertips and the inner finger and the outer, and then, and the blade of the hand, and you know, like all these areas. So for just someone who has no knowledge, what, because you were kind of harping on massage earlier, like, well, it's much more than massage, but when it comes to a person just wanting to learn the body, and obviously we don't want to hurt each other when we're experimenting, so like no, not too much pressure on joints and stuff, but like, what tools can you give the average person, like, in their play toolbox?
So, and that's a good point. When you spoke about how many nerve endings there are in the genitals versus other parts of the body, it's more an issue of surface area than it is anything else. They are condensed highly in the genitals. And so playing with different types of pressure translates to pain much faster. When you have all those nerves bundled together, the action potentials I was talking about are much more readily available and pain is present. Versus if you're coming on the arm and you're touching very lightly, that gives you an idea of how can I touch as light as I possibly can, which would be safe in the genitals. And then how can I touch deeply up to the point of pain, but not quite breaching that. And that's where you start to learn how to play with various types of touch, how deep that you can go, and how to control your own body. Mm-hmm. So the caveman hand, as you spoke about, that's the practice piece. There aren't really any techniques to say stop being a caveman other than try and learn how to touch as light as you can, as hard as you can without causing pain, and finding everything in the middle. And there really aren't techniques for that. There aren't any tips or tricks. It's finding somebody who is willing. So really the ideal is take the bullet and say that I want to practice massage on everybody that I know, friends, mm-hmm. family. It doesn't necessarily have to be an intimate experience. If you're playing with these various kinds of touch, you gain those skills naturally that let you feel things that it took me many, many years to hone. Yes, I have that extra bonus of the anatomical knowledge and the constant everyday practice with this stuff, but it doesn't change the fact that whether you're with a partner for a night or with a partner for 30 years, you have plenty of lifetime to practice these skills. So first time around, are you going to be good at it? No, not at all. That one night experience, not going to be that great. But hey, who doesn't want to get a massage? Even if you're not that great at it, at least you're trying. And that makes that tends to mean something. Versus 30 years down the road, if you're still with the same partner, you've learned that person's body quite well. But we all have a body. We all have the same muscles for the most part. There's a few genetic abnormalities. But the muscles are pretty well all in the same place. Everybody's got a bicep. It's about on the upper part of the arm.
Welcome to the gun show.
Right? Those are the issues.
I'm flexing. That's what's happening.
That's the kind of stuff that you can look at as the muscles are all the same. The nervous system is all the same. What parts of the skin are controlled by a specific nerve and what parts of the muscles are controlled by a specific nerve are the same in everyone. So you can start using those techniques is to first learn how to feel, learn how to touch, learn how to find things. People will always report, oh, wow, that's really tense. Oh, really? I don't feel that. So get to know what you feel right in that spot when they've reported this is tense versus surrounding areas. Okay, you're telling me this is less tense than over here? Yes. Okay, so let me see if I can figure out what those feel differently. Mm-hmm. And that's the first step. Once you've gone from there, you can, if you care to, you can expand into the anatomy where you can go learn, pick up a textbook. Wikipedia is the source of all knowledge. You can find all kinds of things. Type in C3 nerve in Wikipedia and you'll get all kinds of information about what it controls and you can play with that. So, or C5 is the obvious one. The most commonly damaged nerve in the neck area is C5. So you can look at that. Well, that controls this muscle, so I can move this muscle while I am rubbing on my partner's shoulder.
So where in a not the genital area can I rub to help soothe the genital area? I mean, let's get down to business. And we're running out of time, so break it down, bro.
That's the tough one. The episode that you had with Jayama when she was with Dave – when she was doing the sacral palpation with her hand right at the very bottom of the tailbone, most of the nerves that are associated with genitals are coming from that area, and those bones don't move. They're fused.
Oh, so the very base of the spine is innervates the genitals.
Yeah. That's where it becomes a little bit of a problem, because I can move all kinds of levels of the spine that changes the entire rest of the body. So it's a little bit tougher when looking specifically at genital play. The point that I try to make with sensation play is that you can do sensation play into the genitals, but it's more about a whole body experience that lets what you do independently with the genitals be an additional experience on top of that.
Is that why spanking can create orgasms? Because it's all right there near those nerve pathways?
It's pretty close. Not to mention that pain, pleasure, they're not. It's all nerve excitability. If you get the right nerve stimulated enough in the right area, you can create an orgasm off of that.
And why is someone ticklish at first and then not ticklish later? Like, what has happened? I think of that as the arousal process kind of changing perception. But that's me sort of half-assing science.
In this case, somebody comes home from work after a really rough day and they're super tense. Tension is borderline on pain.
And I think of that as a muscular thing.
It is. So if you're carrying around a 10-pound weight in your arm all day, your bicep is going to be screaming at you by the end of the day. If you carry a much lighter weight, it's still going to be tense and it's going to be borderline on pain. When you've got all this tension built up, ticklishness is possible because ticklishness and pain are not that far off from each other from a neurological standpoint. When you can get things to let go and relax, that ticklishness disappears. It's where people getting a massage where there is no sex play involved can still lose the ticklishness factor. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing that becomes super important, that if you don't remove tension, you're already on closer to the side of pain than you are pleasure. And if you're trying to dive straight into pleasure before removing the pain response, it's unlikely your body's going to be able to do that in a lot of situations, unless you have specifically conditioned yourself or have a natural drive for pain to pleasure. Mm. In that case, it's a little different story.
Oh, so well said, all of that. That was a great paragraph. Print. Last question, because you did mention this when we met and I wanted to make sure that we touched on it, is scar tissue. I was really into cultural anthropology in college and I took several classes. One of them was African culture, and I watched and learned a lot about scarification ritualistically and the beauty that come from scars and the sensation changes of the skin from scars. So I've had for a long time a perception that scars can be helpful, not necessarily always a problem, but I also have surgical scars that like through the muscle where it's a little tight there. I mean, I'm using the word tight, but, there's less flexibility in that area. So I've experienced scars in all those ways. So when you say, and you said to me that there's pleasure potential where most people perceive pain and damage potential, tell me more.
Part of that's my own drive. I mean, before I even dove into nerves, scars was kind of my original quote-unquote specialty. A lot of people look at a giant scar as something disfiguring, and particularly in the case of women, I see that more often than not in my female patients. Guys kind of look at it as, it's a battle wound. Yeah, I got stabbed. Mm-hmm. No, you didn't. You broke your ankle. No, I got stabbed. All right, mm-hmm. That's cool. But you get a lot of different, a scar is not skin anymore. It's a completely different type of fiber. And that applies in the muscles as well. If you tear a muscle, it's no longer muscle on that spot. It's scar tissue. It has its own nerve supply, but it's kind of an unusual nerve supply and often painful. How you get it to stop being painful is something that we do in physical therapy, where it's a remodeling process. That's not exactly part of your question. But the piece being is that because it's a different type of tissue, because it's a different type of nerve grouping, it's a different type of sensation. To me, I look at that as that's great. That's something new to play with. That's a new experience that you have that I don't necessarily have. Mm-hmm. If you have cut the nerve that covers light touch to that area, I can rub on that scar and you feel nothing. That doesn't necessarily mean the receptors that are associated with temperature are gone. Mm-hmm. So now you throw the standard ice cube into it, and you feel an unusual sensation in that area because the receptors are firing, but they're buried under scar tissue, but you can't feel the pressure of the ice cube. That's a new novel experience for your brain. And new and novel, to me, is the most important piece when it comes to maintaining a sex life.
Ah.
It's a new piece of experimentation. The tightness that you're talking about, the scar tissue is kind of like glue, and it will grab onto a lot of different things. And that can cause problems, because when you try and move and it's locked onto something, it'll tug and it hurts.
Yeah, I felt it.
The problem is that we can get rid of that very easily. It's just very painful, because the way you remodel scar tissue is to make it hurt many times a day. So that's the rough part. Yeah.
You mean like I just keep poking my abdomen and keep poking it, and what that'll make it like go away, or that'll just make it change to be like, all right, you win. Like I don't.
it'll help reorganize it. If we look at scar tissue under a microscope, it looks like wet spaghetti thrown on the floor.
It's gross.
If you look at a muscle or a tendon or a ligament, the fibers are relatively parallel to each other. And so they slide nice and easily. But if you throw that wet spaghetti in the middle of it and try and move that area around, it's just going to tug. It's not going to go anywhere. Well, we have to remodel this stuff in order to let it move. We can take that and start to tug and tug and tug and tug and tug. And after a while, it gets into a semi-organized pattern and you're not aware it's there anymore. You can see the scar on the skin, but it's not attached to anything anymore. Scar tissue serves a very, very important purpose. 10,000 years ago, we used to have to chase our food in order to live. If you tear a hamstring muscle, you die. Mm-hmm. The body doesn't exactly like that. It's going to do whatever it can to keep you mobile. So it throws this glue at it to make it so that you can run. It's ugly and it hurts, but you can run. Mm-hmm. You're not going to starve to death anymore. But that constant running, chasing after food is a high force activity. And that high force tugs on that scar tissue so much that it eventually remodels. It's an archaic system. That's not our lifestyle anymore. We're not running around constantly all day. Most of us are sitting down all day. And so the scar is not receiving the necessary repeated forces to remodel. So that becomes the first technique, is we want to get this to remodel just from using multiple forces many times a day to remove the painful component of it, to move that tight, restricted component of it.
So we came together to talk about pleasure. Does pleasure and play with scar tissue in this way help at all? Or no, this is more just how to enjoy it for while it's there, whereas actually remodeling it would be a whole other thing of making it hurt and stuff.
A little of both. If you can turn it into pain play to some degree. But it is largely about an altered sensation and seeing what that translates into. Does it respond to vibration? Does it respond to temperature? Does it respond to touch? How does it respond differently than surrounding areas? That's the part that's the sensation play. The remodeling, it can be a little bit of a pain play, because it's your threshold for pain can be variable. And how much force you put through that can be variable. And all types of force will remodel it. It's just a matter of how much do you feel like messing with. But for example, you talk about an abdominal scar. If you put yourself in a position that's putting tension on it and then adding in sensation play on top of that, you've now altered that sensation further, because that tug on nerves is creating a new sensation for you versus a relaxed state. So if we then bring in, say, vibration, when it's on a stretched state versus when it's not, you're going to get a little bit of a different sensation on that as well. That's where you can look at a scar. The remodeling process is a work, and that's what you can come see people like me for. But you can even, really what I'm going to do with my patients with that is I'm going to teach you how to remodel it at home. You don't need my expert advice. You just need to go do this a whole bunch of times for many, many weeks, and it goes away.
Right. Teach them how to fish.
Exactly. It's educating my patients. You can take that into the bedroom and then say, well, if I put this extra force on it, now I am altering what I feel, where it's a little bit painful, but can I turn that into pleasure? Can I remove the nerve impulse enough to make that pleasurable? Maybe it takes vibration to do that. Maybe it takes scratching to do that. Maybe it takes heat to do that. All kinds of various ways that you can mess with it. It's more about just learning your body. And if I can say anything else about this entire conversation today, it is the importance of learning your body. Body awareness will take care of most pains. It will take care of most stresses. It will take care of most restrictions to enjoying a sexual session if you just know your body. And so that's the biggest message that I can give, is spend this time to learn what it is. Well, I don't want to give too many tips and techniques. I want you to figure it out on your own, because it gives you the chance to learn what your body is doing and feeling all the way through it.
I mean, so when you say know your body, it's be aware and feel the sensations that your body feels. Some people numb and whatnot, but like really, and take time to feel sensation all over. Because I mean, I'll touch my own body, my arms, my neck. I will play with my own. Like, you don't have to have somebody else touch your body to feel sensation. Some people get real bored. I'm like, work it out, my friend. Like, you know, make it interesting for yourself. So recap one, what's the family that for 500 years is doing a special technique that only 28 people in the world know? I mean, this is like some Kill Bill secret, death in three steps situation. So can people look this up somewhere? I mean, clearly they're probably very wealthy or something. Come on.
It's not my place to give. I would love to give that information, but it's not my place to give.
Wait, so they just keep the secret and then just friends of friends go see them? Or is it I'm confused. Can you at least give me more context as to why this would be such a secret if it's so helpful for people?
The reason it's such a secret is because we're having a discussion about sex and pleasure, and it's not my place to decide if that's what they want this technique used for.
Okay, so what's your damn email? So people can email you or whatever.
Professional email is awhitman, and that's Whitman like the chocolate, @proclub.com. I work at Pro Sports Club. It's where a great number of us do or have learned this specific type of massage technique for blood flow.
And is this in the Seattle area?
This is in mostly in the Bellevue area, but it's a suburb of Seattle. It's something that I people are welcome to contact me and ask any questions they want. I'm happy to educate, whether it be about pain, whether it be about pleasure, anything that they want to ask. I'm pretty reliable about getting back to people. The one catch that I will say is I'm not going to answer questions about this technique in regards to pleasure. If somebody happens to be in the area and schedules an appointment with one of our massage therapists at the club, you'll see what it is to experience it. But that's about as far as it goes. It's a certain type of shiatsu massage. People have had shiatsu before, but this is a specific type of shiatsu massage.
I totally respect that, the association with, you know, this podcast. I get that. But I also want people to be able to find it because I'm about a holistic life experience. This isn't just about sex. It just so happens that that's part of life. But thank you. So recap also. So if I were to touch like an area of my arm, there are two different nerve pathways for vibration and
light touch.
So, okay. In the spot of my arm, there's two nerve paths, just two. Because, okay, we're talking vibration, temperature, light touch, deep touch. I mean, there's lots of different things going on here.
It's the pathways are sort of bundled together. The fine touch, which is the 2-point discrimination, the stereognosis, the graphesthesia, all that very fine specific type of touch is paired with proprioception, the position sense of joints, and vibration. Those are all clumped together and take the same pathway up to the brain. The light touch, just the generic kind, the whether it be shallow, deep, that kind of stuff, is paired with pain and with temperature sense, and those take a different pathway up to the brain.
Because what I'm imagining is that we'd have like a little chart and be like, okay, so do something, pick something from column A, like vibration or licking or whatever, and then like something from column B, like this or that, and then maybe a little from column C, and like put your hands above your head or whatever, and then you'd be messing with a lot of things at once. That's what my brain does.
The easiest way to do that, fine touch is fun for games, right? The 2-point discrimination, it's always fun to experiment. But when you're looking at incorporating this into pick one from A and pick one from B, proprioception and vibration are going to be column A. And proprioception is put yourself in a different position. Put your muscle on stretch versus on relaxation. That's going to be the position sense. The vibration is vibration. That's common sense. Mm-hmm. And then column B is going to be any kind of touch. Any non-specific, where you're rubbing, you're squeezing, anything that you want to do along those regards, temperature, and if you're interested, pain. Those three would be from column B. Any kind of touch, pain, and temperature.
All right. This is definitely, I'm going to be applying this to my play in the future. I can't wait to listen to this episode to like write notes and be like, okay, plan of attack. All right. Adam. Thank you. We plan to do a half an hour or so, and gosh darn it, this is a lot, and we're not even. This is just scratching the surface.
Sorry, I'm very long-winded.
No, it's not that I was long-winded. I mean, I'm trying to cram an entire doctorate into a handful of minutes. So thank you so much for reaching out and being passionate that people know more about their bodies in this way. Because I think this is, I feel empowered by this knowledge. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it as well, the opportunity to give this knowledge to people as well.
You guys, as we see on the podcast, go Team Fun.
Go Team Fun.
You rolled your eyes a little bit.
Go Team Fun.
Oh, yay. I got him. Hi, I got him.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.